This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts, Susan Branson, together with my co-host, Paul Wearsome.
Well, hello, Susan. Now, this is an unusual program for Local Talk. We like to make road trips around our listening area, but today, two members of a band from Marshall County are here in the studio to tell us about their recent trip to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, to record in the legendary Fame Studio.
But before talking to the Marshall County Hangman, I would like to play a song from their first album, On the Road to Heaven or Hell. As you can see, this song is about somebody on the way to hell. And it's a pretty stark contrast to the trip the hangman will be talking about in our studio.
When I left Texas time, left the whole world behind, do you know what I mean? She loved me so, but I had to go fast and clean. Won't do nothing, won't do nothing. Leads me home. Won't do nothing. Won't do nothing that leads me home. You know, when I left Texas, man, I had a good guitar and a fast right hand. Yeah, yeah, gonna be a star. Got to Nashville, almost broke. Started to get hungry and mean. Yeah, mean. Won't do nothing. Won't do nothing. Leads me home. Won't do nothing. Won't do nothing. Me home. Saw my chance late one night, picked up that gun in the pale moonlight. Yeah. Had to gun him down. Took a $20 bill and a Cadillac car. The police didn't let me get too far, no, no. Won't do nothing. Leads me home. Won't do nothing. Won't do nothing. Leads me home. Bars, realize I didn't get too far, no. I can't go back. As they put that noose around my neck, I'll be back to Texas time.
Well, that's a pretty compelling ballad. Even has a hangman in it. But on the other end of the rope, from the singer. Looking at these smiling guys from Marshall County, I don't think they were identifying with the story in the ballad. I'm turning the questions over to Ron Carson, who made us aware of this amazing band and their recent road trip to Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Thanks, guys, for coming down. We got Dave Gray, the founder, the Brain Trust, and we also have a drummer here. We have Gordy Stull here. The core of the story is how did this come about? A local band ends up going to Muscle Shoals, kind of like Mecca.
Yes, definitely.
And recording an album of your originals, I take it.
Yes, yes.
So tell that story. How did this come about?
Well, it came about, I watched the movie Muscle Shoals on TV, and it just blew me away. And the next day, I got a letter from a previous employer that said they'd like to buy out my retirement. And after that happened, I explained to my wife what I'd like to do. And she says, oh, what? Don't I get a new kitchen or a new car? And I said, well, wait a minute. I was working 72 and 84 hours a week. Don't I get to have some fun? You were up at Mall of America and Puffer Billy Days, and I was working.
Dave missed out.
Yeah,
Dave,
I did.
Yeah,
and
those.
So I thought, can I have some fun now? And she says, well, I suppose.
If I
don't, I'll never hear the end of it.
Delayed gratification model, yeah.
Yes. And it worked well, so.
The planets were aligned.
I'm telling you, it couldn't have fallen into place any better. It really couldn't have.
Well, tell us more about the documentary.
The documentary, it just blew me away with the fact that there's so many hits that had come out of there. Over 300 number one hits have come out of that studio. Rick Hall has such an amazing feel for sound and what a hit really should be. And so by listening to and watching the movie, I realized that this would be really cool if we could do that. And then the next day getting that letter, it was like, this was meant to be.
And so it was.
Yes.
You've made quite a trip of it, though. You stopped down in Nashville.
We stopped. We did the trifecta of music. We did Memphis on the way down through. We fought an ice storm from Jackson, Missouri. And it wasn't a small ice storm. We're talking our windshield wiper fell off on the way into Blytheville, Arkansas on 55. And we fought ice all the way there. People going in the ditches, semis turning over. It was awful. And we got to Memphis, and everything was closed.
Because of the weather?
Because of the weather. And so we didn't get to see much of downtown Beale Street, but we did get to go through the Gibson showroom and fondle the guitars. So.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about stores. They can sometimes stay open when public buildings and museums
absolutely
are not able to do that.
I was going to say, this sounds a lot like the Odyssey.
Yeah, it really was. And then after we left Memphis, we got to eat at the Rendezvous Barbecue place down in, I don't remember the name of the basement, but wow, food was fantastic. And we went to Sun Records.
Yeah.
And drove around, went to Memphis Drum Studio so Gordy could drool on the drums.
Oh, boy.
And, oh, drool he did.
I did.
I hope they wiped up after.
Well, they did. They've got a vintage drum room back there that has a set that was played by Ringo and several other.
Ringo who?
What's his name? I don't know. That little artist from England, you know.
Yeah.
And that was kind of neat. And all the other things that we got to do.
But then you finally make it to Muscle Shoals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Gordy, tell me what it felt like to be in this sanctum.
Well, we actually stopped in the Saturday. But we started recording on a Sunday. And we stopped in the Saturday just on the off chance that somebody would be there. And lo and behold, there was an intern hanging around waiting for tours. And he showed us around. And when you walk into Studio A, I don't know, I just sucked air. I mean, because you think of all the people who have been there. You know, I immediately thought of Wilson Pickett recording in that room. And the vibe was just incredible.
The hair stood up on your arm, the back of your neck. It was just, you could feel the energy there. It was just fantastic.
So we're getting into the paranormal here.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
And speaking of the paranormal, if you knew anything about the Marshall County Hangman, like you'd seen their website, you'd know that only two guys here is only half the band. But John is...
I am right here.
There he is.
...is on the phone.
Hey, John.
Hello.
And so... you know, I found on your website what instruments you play, and so can we just read through that? With us here in the studio, we have David Gray, songwriter, vocals, rhythm guitar, mandolin, and harp. Gordy Stahl, drums, and now we have with us John Schumacher, vocals and lead guitar. Is that right, John?
That is correct.
Okay, and only... Ryan Runyon, bass guitar, is missing, and he's not going to be able to make it in any form tonight. Is that right?
That's correct.
Correct.
He's in the ether if we're talking paranormal.
So okay. So he probably
so he is with us.
Channel us at all.
I feel his presence.
Yeah, we can channel him, right. Did all four of you go down to Muscle Shoals?
Well, three of us did. Ryan couldn't get the time off because he's still a fairly new teacher.
I see.
And so he didn't have enough comp time or whatever it took to get down there. And once we got to Muscle Shoals, everything just, we started grinning, and I don't think it ever left our faces until even after we got back.
Well, I noticed that you still have pretty big grins on your faces. And John, I can't see your face, but I'll bet that you're grinning right now too, right?
Oh, you got it right now, yep. It was just one of the most fantastic experiences. And like you were saying before, it was, you know, very out of the norm, as we say. You could just feel the vibrations of the music of past and hopefully future with our new album.
Well, John, you played on the album, is that correct?
Yes, I did. Got to record with the session players, and it was definitely a... education, let's say. It is so much different than playing live, and very humbling when you think of yourself as, oh, I'm a pretty good player, but it's a totally different set of skills because you have to be much more aware of what is going on to make the recording sound as good as it does, and it gives you just a great respect for session players who have played on hundreds of albums throughout the decades, and just absolutely mind-boggling how they do that, and hopefully get a chance to do some more in the future.
So you had a session guitarist as well?
Yes, we did, to fill out. It really is a different way of looking at music, because when you play live music, you think we're going to play this song, but now you have engineers involved and sound technicians, and it's almost like putting an orchestra together where here's the part you're going to play and things like that, and then putting layers on different types of sections of music, and it was just an amazing experience for myself. Professionally and musically.
You had a producer, didn't you?
Yes, and, you know, when they have the sound engineers and producer, as they can kind of take both parts, they will listen, and they've got great ears, too. One of the great humbling experiences is, you know, you're playing a guitar solo, and he goes, that note was a little flat. You need to change that. And it's like, I didn't even hear that. So they are really glued on making the album and song the best it can possibly be. So, it really is an amazing...
Well, you would hear
it's
that...
It's an amazing process.
Yeah, you'd hear that flat note every time it was played back.
Yep. But they catch it right away, so their ears are so trained right at that time, and it's like, man, I didn't even hear that, and I got a pretty good ear, but, you know, when that's their work and their passion, they know when it's time to fix something, so you fix it.
And you got everything fixed?
Oh, you know.
Dave's shaking his head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they fix it.
And John Gifford III was our producer, and he really cracked the whip, and he wanted to pull the best out of us that he could possibly get. And you could see that there were times where we needed to go out and have a cigarette, come back in, and regroup.
Depressurize.
Yeah, because the pressure is so great trying to get that, like John was saying, trying to get that note just the way you want it. And it was just amazing on how engineering has come about and how you can just single out that one note and play through and... There you go.
And John has to listen to it and try to hit that one note at exactly the same point.
Well, not only that is he's right there with you. Nope, 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 yep. Oh, and he can notice the frustration and goes, take a break. Come on back to it. So, yeah.
So it was a rewarding experience, satisfying experience, though, in the end, after all the travails.
Oh, you would not believe. It was just, you come back, you just giddy as a schoolgirl.
We are on the radio here, so thanks for that language.
Schoolboys don't ever get giddy. What do they get?
Well, I'm as giddy as a schoolboy then. I'll give everybody equal.
So this is your second album. This goes back to Dave, I believe.
Okay.
And John was also involved with that recording, was it not? Well, tell us about the other end of the spectrum, the recording.
Well, when we did it, the first album, it was in our garage, and we used a Tascam 2488, it went pretty good, and I had a friend of mine doing the engineering part, and we muddled through it, and it sounded pretty decent for doing it out of a garage. And after we got done recording the album, I asked the guys, you want to start a band? And they go, yeah, let's do that. And that's how the band was born. It was just kind of I wanted to get the songs down that I'd written, and some were better than others. Of course, that's when you look at Rick Hall, he's written over 3,000 songs, and only 65 of them were number ones. So, I mean, that's quite a ratio. So I figure if I can get one, I'd be happy.
Well, it's good to know that it's born in a garage.
Yeah.
That it's so American. That is just so rock and roll.
It really is. And John was working at the grocery store when I come up and asked him if he wanted to be in the band. And I'd asked him once before, and I'll think about it. And then I said, I really need to know. He said, yeah, why not? And so John and I are the original two out of the original five, and we're down to four now, and it's the dynamic is so very good. We can almost read each other as we're playing, and that's what you look for.
So you also had a session bassist, is that correct?
Yes.
Who was that?
His name is Jamie McFarlane, son of Will McFarlane, who has been on a lot of albums, National Geographic documentary, played background music for those, toured with Bonnie Raitt for 15 years, and we actually got a chance to play on stage with him and Kelvin Holly, who played lead guitar for Little Richard for 25 years. So we got to play on stage with those guys, and that just, wow.
That was incredible. That was so much fun.
I was shaking. Oh, I'm not even going bad.
The session guys, they play a kind of a jam night at a local bar there in Sheffield, Alabama. And they were playing that night, and they invited us to come down and sit in. And we were really tired.
We're only going to stay for one set.
Yeah, we were going to just stay. We'll listen for a little while, you know, wave to them, and then we'll slip out. Well, we were about two songs into it, and they had Dave up on stage playing his harp. And, of course, so we knew we were there for a while. And then third set, they called us up together, and the three of us played with Jamie and Calvin and Will. And that was so much fun. That was incredible.
All of a sudden, last call, and was like, where did that 4 hours go?
Yeah. we closed them down.
We got a lot of good pictures, too, I might add.
That was a thrill.
Yeah.
That was a thrill.
Well, let's just take a station break now and then come back for some more. Okay, guys?
Sounds good.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we have been talking with the Marshall County Hangman, David Gray, songwriter and vocals, rhythm guitar, mandolin, harp, and John Schumacher, vocals and lead guitar, and Gordy Stull, drums. Interviewing them for KHOI has been Ron Carson. Lance Sumter, the blue collar philosopher, has a DJ show from 10 to midnight on Fridays. And he has been playing the Marshall County Hangman. He's been playing your original CD, the one that brought your band together.
Wow.
On the Road to Heaven or Hell. And you probably know more about that now than you did when you named the CD. And also from Live at Jake's, which is more recent. And does that include the four members of the current band?
Yes. Yes, it does. When we played Live at Jake's, that was a lounge or a bar down in the basement of a building in Marshalltown, just off of Main Street. And we got a handy-dandy little Tascam, and we started recording our shows so we could hear what we were doing right or not doing right, and we could fix it. I feel that we need to always be monitoring what we do to improve. And we've got some covers in there, but I think there's five originals out of the 9 songs that I sent.
At Live at Jake's?
Yes.
At Jake's.
So
yeah.
I think Parkersburg is on there, but I didn't know how to edit the end of it, so it's rather lengthy, and there's a lot of talking in the background. So
every song I know about from you has a story behind it. You can almost feel it. But Parkersburg really has a story. So what is that?
Well, back during the Parkersburg tornado, my wife and I had been traveling on it was our 24th wedding anniversary. And we went up that direction to Dubuque. And I looked to the north and I said, boy, that's a bad storm. Then after that weekend, we found out what had happened. And then a friend of mine who is in journalism at Marshalltown Community College was a business partner of mine. We built guitars together. And he did this interview with the gentleman. Now, to this day, I do not know who the gentleman was, but all the facts that you hear in this song are exactly as this gentleman remembered it. I took the notes and made this song. And it is such an intense song. You can feel the tension in the air when the song is being played live. You know, there's a lot to this story. It's just amazing how many people died when we have so many places to hide, but an F5 storm is just devastating. You don't often think about a roaring silence when you're in a basement and all of a sudden you don't hear anything. It's just deathly quiet. And then all hell breaks loose again. The eye passes over, and the sirens are gone. Everything's gone. You walk out. There's nothing.
And so that's the story that you hear in Parkersburg?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we have been listening to the Dave Gray song Parkersburg about the 2008 tornado in Parkersburg, Iowa. The version of the song you just heard was recorded live at Jake's in Marshalltown by the Marshall County Hangman. As Dave says, there's a big difference between playing live and being recorded at Muscle Shoals. Let's listen to what he has to say.
The engineer that came in and does the final mix down came in, and he was listening to a song that came to be, I had a little bit too much to drink one night, and I had to shingle a roof the next morning. And it was 95 with a heat index of, I think the humidity was 75 or 80%. And after the first bundle of shingles, I looked at my son, and I said, I think I got drunk last night, and that was the name of the tune. So,
not the lyrics of the song, however.
Ross, the, yeah.
Okay, well, that'll be, we'll enjoy listening to that.
Yeah.
Well, you know you got a good song when the engineer's singing along with it by the end. And he was. That was neat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the engineer had only heard it the one time through, and he says, you boys got a hit right there. Well, I said, well, how do you know that? He says, I've heard a lot of music. He says, you could take this to Nashville, but I don't want to go to Nashville.
But my understanding was you did stop by as tourists on the way back.
Yes, we did. We went to Third Man Records with the intent of recording in their little sound booth there. And Neil Young had recorded in it. Jack White had taken that sound booth that cuts wax and took it up to David Letterman's show. And Neil Young had gotten a chance to record something that he had recorded years and years ago, and I wanted to record on that before we left. Well, after recording for that week, my voice was just not everything it needed to be, so we kind of headed for home. We were all kind of homesick at that point. There's things going on. My son blew up his truck. John's daughter had a baby. Then Gordy's granddaughter was in the hospital with respiratory problems, so it was time to come home.
Nashville can always be in your future.
Yeah, why not?
Well, guys, I got to tell you, I got to make a living. So
break a leg, man.
Alrighty. You two take care. Thank you so much for the interview opportunity, and look forward to talking with you again.
Well, we hope that'll happen.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Go get him, John.
Bye, John.
Bye.
What I wanted to know is why do you guys do it? I mean, why do you do it? Why do you chase this down? You want to get out there and you want to play your music.
It's a passion. Uh-huh. It's a passion that I have. I've always wanted to play music. I have always wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I had written a song back in 96, and I had a friend of mine help me find the notes because I didn't know how to play the guitar. And I was using a guitar tuner singing into it, so I knew what notes. He says, that's not how you write a song. So I put it down, and I said, well, then help me write this. After we were done with the very first song, he put his guitar away. He says, if you want to write a song, you learn how to play. And that's where it started. So in 2002, I taught myself how to play.
Excellent. So what are you getting out of it? When you're on, when you look back on the times that you've done this, and yet, shown your music and expressed yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. What are the memories that stick out the most when you were getting it?
When you're feeling it, when you're out there and you're playing it and you're feeling it, there's not a better feeling. It's just like euphoric. You used to pay good money for a high like that. I mean,
right.
this is something that is just has totally become such a engulfing passion that you just don't want to stop. You want to just keep going.
You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you're making music, you can't think about anything else, and it is a totally incredible thing.
I just wanted to hear your take on it. I think, I don't know if everybody's got the same reason or if they're all, sort of the same, but yeah, I've played my whole life that's what it's about. I don't know if I need attention or approval, but I know that when it hurts and when I sing the blues, it starts to feel better.
Yeah. And when you see Neil Young on stage And he's in that pocket, and he's looking at the other band members, and he's going, yeah, you know just where he's coming from. Yeah, you just right got on. That groove.
Right on. Rock and roll. Thanks, guys.
Well, this has really been a delightful interview, and thanks to Ron for asking all the questions.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed sitting in on this and watching you. I wish that everybody could see your faces. Because of course
we're glowing, aren't we?
You still are. You've still got that muscle shoals high.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to come through in your music.
And we'll look forward to hearing the Muscle Shoals recording of it on the CD, Southbound Road.
It takes a long time.
Yes, it takes about 6 weeks for the CDs to become pressed. But we have, we've got to get the design for the jacket and stuff like that. So,
but you, as a result of the trip or something, or just because you're so good now, you have some gigs coming up, don't you? You want to talk about those?
Oh my, yes. We've got Algona Bike Festival. 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we're playing July 4th in the Beer Barn. And what was that other one we got coming up here real quick? Oh, an audition up at Bogie Bay, which is in Milford, Iowa. I don't know all the details.
Next week, we've got a really busy week. We go to Bogie Bay on a Thursday night. They have an adult dance on Thursday night, and we're really hoping to get some more lake area gigs out of that. Then Saturday we go down to one of our favorite haunts in Des Moines, Miss V's Honky Tonk. It's a little neighborhood bar that we just love to play at. The vibe is so cool there. And then the day after that we go to a place called Wild Hogs in Walford, which is over by Cedar Rapids. And our summer is full with the exception, I believe, of one Saturday. We might have a Friday or two in there. We just picked one up at Valley Junction later on in the summer. We're going back to Meskwaki to play in the lounge in August. We're the headliners at Ogden Fun Days in June. We're all over the place.
Are any of these gigs within our listening area?
No, we're playing the bar out in North Ames on 15th of May, Friday the 15th.
Okay.
We'll be out there for Cheryl and Taylor. We also have a Facebook page. We also have a website, MarshallConnieHangman.com. So you can find our schedule at any of those places. We like to play to a lot of people. It's more fun that way.
How did you come up with a name? I mean, I've seen your picture. You look pretty mean guys. But, you know, now I find, you know, you're sweeties. What's this mean guy persona?
Well, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of bands out there when they take their publicity shots. Everybody's got this mean look. And we've got some pictures that we posted that everybody's smiling, which I think is a better take on who we really are. The name came from a long time ago. We were playing at a place called Billy Joe's Picture Show, me and the original bass player for the band. And we'd went up there and we were trying out the songs that I'd written for the CD. And I told the guy running the sound, I said, "We're looking for a name." He says, "Well, you sound kind of country. Where are you from?" I said, "From Marshalltown." "Well, what about the Marshall, U.S. Marshals?" I said, "Well, that sounds like kind of plagiarism, maybe." And I said, he said, "Well, how about the county sheriffs, the Marshall County Sheriffs?" I said, "Nah." We were walking through the parking lot, and I said, "Sound about something a little more ominous, like Hangman." "Oh, yeah." So that's kind of how it got started. It definitely gets your attention. Whenever you see Hangman, you go, "Wait, what's that?" But there was a band, because I Googled it, there was a band called The Hangman back in 66, 67. I don't remember their hit. It wasn't a number one, but they did have a couple of songs on the radio. And they still are touring, I guess, out of England. So we couldn't take that name, but I refer to us as the Hangmen anyway. So just like Creedence Clearwater says CCR, it's just easier this way.
Well, and then my wife started, she books us. She's our booking agent. And when she started doing this last summer?
Yeah.
Last fall, whenever. Her and John's wife, Chris, said, you guys up there in your Hawaiian shirts and your shorts, you don't look like hangmen. You've got to have it. If you're going to be the hangman, you've got to portray that persona. So we started wearing the black shirts, and we all carry red bandanas and our cowboy hats. So it's kind of a package deal that way until we smile.
Yeah, and it just kind of ruins it all. I thought about wearing a hood like the hangman used to wear back in the day.
There you go.
You know, but it just didn't look right.
No, it would, I think, interfere with your playing a little, too.
Well, that and the fact it would hide my good looks.
Yeah.
Thanks for not saying anything, Gordy. Appreciate it.
We'll leave it alone.
All right.
Okay, well, it's been great having you guys here. We'll see you again sometime, either on our road trip or hearing about yours.
Sounds like a great idea to me.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, where we have been talking with the Marshall County Hangman, David Gray, John Schumacher, and Gordy Stahl. Interviewing them for KHOI have been Ron Carson and James Winters. James, who is also a musician, just happened to be in the studio during the interview. Before he left the studio, Ron Carson provided the backstory to the Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. He also provided a vintage recording of the studio's first hit in 1964.
I've got to see you somehow, not tomorrow, right now. I know it's late, whoa, I can't wait, so come on and steal away. Make up your mind. Your folk are sleeping. Let's not waste any time. I know it's late. Whoa, I can't wait. So come on and steal away. Please just steal away. I know it's wrong.
Jimmy Hughes. Now, Jimmy Hughes recorded this song in one take at the Muscle Shoals Fame Studio, and it became a prototype for soul singers to come and to find the Muscle Shoals sound. This one-take wonder is historic evidence of the magic that was conjured up in the famous Fame Studio.
Two prior locations of the Fame Studios. Fame is Florence, Alabama Musical Enterprises, and that was nearby Florence, Alabama, which was the original studio location above a drugstore. Then they moved to a tobacco warehouse somewhere, and eventually Rick Call got the money to build a new facility, which is on 603 Stanton Avenue there in Muscle Shoals. And that is the Fame studio that the Marshall County Hangmen recorded in recently.
What happened after they had that hit?
Well, lots happened. You're going to have to see the documentary to see who all was there. I'm not going to spoon feed it to you here, but black and white musicians recording together, and that was contrary to, you know, the social mores of the Deep South. We're talking Alabama here. That got to be kind of tolerated, seeing black and white musicians out, you know, going to the restaurant to get a bite to eat. That got a little bit more accepted. It didn't draw much attention. But one thing that was absolutely not allowed there is long-haired hippies. They were looked down upon less favorably than blacks at one point in time. And one of those famous long-haired hippies, blonde-haired lad, was living out in the Fame studio parking lot in a tent. This kid was an ace guitarist and just moved there just to be close to the recording session, all the action there. And he befriended Rick Hall and got his way in there and eventually got a recording contract. He also befriended Wilson Pickett. So one day when everybody else, all the white musicians, went out to eat a local diner or restaurant, Wilson Pickett and young Dwayne Almond stayed back in the studio. And Dwayne talked him into recording the Beatles' Hey Jude, and Wilson was there to record his music. He wasn't interested in that, but he got talked into it. And Dwayne Allman later played guitar on that recording, and it became pretty famous and is widely regarded as the birthplace of Southern rock, which to me is pretty ironic because here this is two elements that the Southerners didn't tolerate is blacks and young hippies. And
so what was it that they recorded? That can we play it?
Don't make it, well, bad. Let's
take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her in your heart, then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. Anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain, don't carry the world upon your shoulder. For you know that it's a fool who plays the coup by making the world a little bit colder. Hey, don't let me down. You found her. Now go on out and get her. But remember to let her in your heart. Then you can start to make it better. So let it out and let it in. Hey, you begin. You waited for some. And don't you know?
All this talk about road trips makes me look forward to spring in Iowa when we can go on road trips to all our surrounding areas.
Yes, that has been one of my greatest delights at KHOI. When you and I interviewed the mayors of Story County towns before we went on the air, I realized how distinct each town was and how proud the mayors were of the things that made their towns special. I felt as if I just opened the door to a new world I'd been living in for 50 years. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. Each trip we've taken has brought surprising and delightful awareness to me, and I want to introduce our listeners to our discoveries.
Well, now, in the past 2 years, you and I, Susan, have traveled to Madrid for the Coal Mining Museum, and we went to the Nylon Corner where the Lincoln and Jefferson Highways cross, and to Boone for the James H. Andrew Railway Museum, including an interview with then 90-year-old James H. Andrew at his home in Jefferson.
The interview with James H. Andrew was outstanding. He started with stories from his grandfather about bringing the family household goods, farm implements, and animals to Iowa by boxcar. Without our interview, those stories would have been lost to all but members of his family because he died the following year. So we're really building an archive.
But that's not what keeps us going on the road.
You're right. We go out because road trips are fun adventures, if only for an afternoon.
This has been Local Talk Wednesday, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Now today, two of the members of the Central Iowa band Marshall County Hangmen came to tell us about their recording session in Muscle Shoals Fame Studio down in Alabama. Your hosts have been Susan Franson and Paul Wearson, and our guests today have been David Gray, John Schumacher, Gordy Stahl, Ron Carson, who knows the band well. He conducted the main interview today, and James Winters joined us at the end.
Music you heard was Parkersburg and I Think I Got Drunk Last Night by the Marshall County Hangmen, recorded live at Jake's in Marshalltown, and Texas Time from their first CD, On the Road to Heaven or Hell. And Dwayne Alleman, Wilson Pickett, and the Swampers from the 1969 album, Hey Jude, Wilson Pickett.
Steal Away by Jimmy Hughes.
The show was engineered by Richard Morrison. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org, where we are streaming live. You'll find recent shows on our homepage with links to the organizations and other resources mentioned on our shows.
If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and consider becoming one of the 500 families donating $20 per month or $250 per year to help us meet our operating expenses. We'd also like to hear your feedback either by phone at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Or stop at the KHOI studios at 410 Douglas in Ames and meet us in person.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and
see you again on the radio.